This is Talk 650.
This is Talk 650.
Powered by CBS Radio.
And welcome back to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on Talk 650 and 650Houston.com. I'm here with columnist and commentator D.B. Grady. David, to participate in the discussion, call 713-9650-650 or write to me at thinkwingradio@msn.com. So, David, I'm sorry I had to cut you off a little before. Apparently, I was more long-winded than I had thought.
Oh, no, not a problem. I was more long-winded than I thought, too. So,
so let's talk a little about the advantages and disadvantages of a volunteer army. I think that the obvious advantages, at least to me, are the quality of the soldiers, highly trained, highly motivated, choose to be there. The advantages politically are also obvious. You can deploy these soldiers, and it's not like draftees where they don't want to be there. They have chosen their line of work, their life's work. What other advantages do you think there are, and what disadvantages do you think there might be?
Well, like you said, the obvious advantages of having an all-volunteer army, we have an army, a big army standing at all times that can defend us at a moment's notice. Literally, if we wanted to go to war with someone tomorrow or even in the next 15 minutes, we could have an airborne division in the air ready to drop right now. We could invade any country tomorrow. And when you look at the speed in which perils have increased in the world. Terrorism, these days, if you can fit a nuclear bomb in a suitcase, you can pretty much take out the capital city of any nation in the world. It's pretty obvious that there's a huge benefit to having this military ready to roll. On the other hand, the idea of having a big army standing at all times is a relatively new concept in American history. I mean, it wasn't until World War II, really post-World War II, that we decided the military, the so-called military-industrial complex, is here to stay, and it's not going anywhere.
It actually wasn't even that common until the 19th century, except for imperial powers. Mostly you had just a small core of military personnel, and then when you needed people, you pulled them from the countryside and whatnot, and they came with their own guns.
Precisely. Yeah, and so then you go into what are the disadvantages of having this professional military behemoth, and you could say, well, by having this military, we're more likely to use it. We're more likely to station troops in pretty much every hot spot in the world. We're more likely to get involved in foreign entanglements that we don't necessarily have a dog in that fight, so to speak. So it's a double-edged sword. We can protect ourselves, but on the other hand, we can go on the offense very easily. Now, the United States is very benign in their power. I mean, if we wanted to, I dare say we could take over the world, but we don't do that. We're not in Iraq right now, you know, running Iraq. That's not going to become the 51st state of the United States of America. But it could if we wanted it to be. And so I would certainly say that so long as we exercise this power with caution, so long as we exercise this last remaining superpower status with care, we can expect good things from a all-volunteer military. The other hand, like I said, it's a double-edged sword.
Right. What would be the downsides?
The downsides? Well, within the military ranks, you will hear a lot of people. In fact, when I was in the Army, I heard 100% of the time, we don't want to draft because we don't want to have to deal with draftees. And to be perfectly honest with you, that was an opinion that I had, that I held as well. It's very hard, as it is, it's very hard to, you know, when you're dealing with 17, 18-year-old men and women, corralling them, marshaling them to do things like, you know, storm a hill or shoot a bad guy. It's not easy to keep these guys focused. It's not easy to keep these guys, keep the edge of their blade sharpened. So the idea would be, well, if we go to a draft, it's going to be even more difficult because those people won't be here. However, having spoken with several Vietnam veterans and officers of the Vietnam War, I heard just the opposite. I heard that by having a draft, draftees were outstanding soldiers. Contrary to what they expected going into the Vietnam War, draftees were a fine group of men who did an outstanding job. And one of the reasons is because draftees came from a broad cross-section of society. I know we've got the fortunate son crowd where, you know, your senator's brother-in-law didn't have to go to Vietnam. But for the most part, you didn't just pull from one class. You didn't just pull from one region. Like right now, we pretty much pull very strongly from the South. We didn't just pull from one color, race, creed, what have you. With a draft, you're pulling from everyone. And when you pull from that cross-section, you're going to get the best and the worst. Whereas with the Army, or the current professional military, you're pulling from a very specific demographic, and that's not always the best demographic to pull from.
Is there an advantage that you can see to having conscripts in the military? Or one of the thoughts I've had is perhaps simply limiting the conscripts to admin and support roles where they're not typically in combat, but then we don't have to hire places, say, like Blackwater to do our supplemental fighting force.
I'll start with Blackwater. I'm not sure that Blackwater is in Iraq right now, but companies like Blackwater are never going to go away. KBR, this is not to disparage the men and women who are in their employ and who go overseas and who do a very good job, but it is very discouraging and demoralizing when you're a soldier. And I'm going to use admin as an example, although there are dozens of examples to choose from. It is discouraging when you are an E4 specialist in the Army doing a job, and there's a private sector KBR employee sitting next to you at the same desk doing the exact same job, and he's making three times the amount of money you're making. It becomes a very big frustration. One of the things that I saw when I was overseas, people would work next to KBR employees, get in good with KBR guys, wait till our enlistment came up, get out of the Army, and get a job at KBR because they already trained for the job. They already have their contacts. They get in and they make more money. So in a sense, it hurts retention to maintain that private security firm. On the other hand, politically, it would be devastating to get rid of the private military contractors, because if we got rid of KBR tomorrow, if we get rid of Blackwater tomorrow, if we got rid of SOC, SMG, and all the other companies, which you're going to need to replace those soldiers, and you're going to need to replace those soldiers with hundreds of thousands more troops.
Which I think goes back to my opinion that we just have too small a military to do what we need to do. I don't think we should have to be hiring those people. We should be able to work within the armed force structure, I think.
I agree with you there, but from a, like I said, from a policy standpoint, or from a political standpoint, rather, it's just not possible. And it would be one of those things where if President Obama said, you know what, we're going to get rid of these guys tomorrow, and we're going to go with just our men and women in uniform, and we're going to magically recruit 100,000 more soldiers, people would get very upset very quickly at the incumbent party and say, no, before you got here, we didn't have to send 100,000 more of our young men and women, and now we are. It's a lot easier. Let me put it to you like this. When a guy from KBR gets killed, it's not front page news. When a Marine gets killed, it's on the front page. And that's a hard truth, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of it. There's this concept that they volunteered for it, they asked for it, they're being well compensated for it. Hey, that's just the name of the game.
So. Well, we are going to take a break now. One of the things I want to think about when we come back, though, is the parallels between mercenary armies in Rome and mercenary armies, essentially, today in our armed forces. We'll be right back. You're on Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig. Just hang in there.